Amen. Well, it is good to be here this morning. Don't let my looks deter you, okay? Years ago, I didn't have a mustache and beard. In the military for 24 years, 8 months, and so many days, you can't have. A few years ago, I was working up in South Dakota with my son-in-law. We were chopping silage, a hail had went through and damaged the corn crop. And they wanted to get everything possible that they could out of the field. So I'm running a truck, hauling the chopped up corn to the pit to make silage for the cattle. And for 11 days, I didn't have the opportunity to shave. It's been a while. I come back and my wife looks at me and she'd never seen this. And she didn't say nothing. So I had taken a selfie. You know what that is? Of course, all of you do, except for us older people, okay? And I'm looking around. There's only a few that's older than I, but... And I sent it to my daughter in Oklahoma City. And she replies back to me pretty quick. Dad, that looks pretty good. What did Mom say? She didn't. So anyhow, since then, I've threatened to shave it off. My wife says, no, it looks good on you. So you're stuck with it. But no, I'm glad that we're here this morning. Some of you are asleep this morning. You ate too much turkey and it's still affecting you, right? Hey, this morning we started singing Christmas songs. My favorite time of the year, Christmas, right? Place to be is where? God's house. We just had Thanksgiving. Everybody's thankful, right? Yeah, got a lot to be thankful for in America. We really do. I've had the privilege to go to several countries of the world where they don't have Thanksgiving, and sometimes you wonder if they've really got anything to be thankful for. But you know what? When you give them Jesus Christ, they do, and it changes their whole lives. If you would, turn this morning to Psalm chapter 96. We're going to start there. When the pastor asked me to come, he said, Samuel, could you talk a little bit about a topic that most people don't like? And I'm glad to get to be able to talk about the topic, okay? And I'm going to give to you a little bit more about it as we go. And I'm not going to spoil it yet and tell you what it is, but, you know, we've got a lot to be thankful for. But we're getting ready to go into the time of year where your wallet drains out as you start giving gifts to people, right? Yeah, all of that hard-earned money that you've been saving up is going to buy a gift for somebody that you care a lot about. Okay, there's a young man here that's starting to care about a girl. I'm not going to harass him or anything like that, but someday he's really going to cash it out. And she's going to start wearing something on a finger, right? Now, I'm not going to try to hurry it. Okay, Mom, Dad, don't worry. Not pushing the envelope here, okay? We had 3 children. They're married. Now we got 13 grandkids. But you know what? We love to be able to give to our grandkids. Anybody else in here, Grandpa and Grandma, that likes to give grandkids? Yeah, amen. It's a good thing. Now, kids, you're probably glad to get, aren't you? Huh? Okay, kids, wake up. Hey, look up here. Kids, you like to get gifts at Christmas time? Nobody done this, okay? Hint to everybody out there. Do you know what? We've been given the gift of Jesus Christ. And it's something that doesn't cost us at all, but yet we can give freely to everybody out there and they're happy to receive that gift if they accept Him as Christ as their Savior. You know that? And everybody from the youngest in here to the oldest in here can have the opportunity to do that. How do I know? I was raised in a Christian home. My wife was raised in a Christian home and we're grateful that we were raised in a Christian home. But we too were sinners. And we need to accept Christ as our Savior. And once you have Christ as your Savior, it just exudes out of you. You want to tell. And I remember that. I was 7 years old when I accepted Christ my Savior. My wife was a teenager. But you know what? We love telling people about God. Look at Psalm 96. We're going to read the first 9 verses real quick. Like it says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathens, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all, what? little g gods. And I've had the privilege to get to go to 50 countries of the world and see many little g gods. And you know what? Right here in America, we have that same problem. We have a bunch of little g gods, and people will serve, they'll do, they'll give towards to make happen. That's not what's right, but let's continue to look. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty and holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Now there was a word that was in there that you probably didn't like to see. So if you go back to verse number 8, we see there previous to that, all of the things that we should give glory to the Lord, right? Amen. Good theme to have. We should be thankful. We should be grateful for. But verse number 8, it says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And everybody's fine with that, but then the second part of that verse is the topic that we're going to talk about today. It says there in the second part, give an offering and come into his courts. I know a lot of people in churches. I've been around now for several years in churches all of my life. I'm 61 years old. I was brought to church right shortly after I was born. And I've been involved in church all of my life. And there's a thing about giving that a lot of people don't like to talk about. I don't know why. But I guess it's from a different perspective. Being in church all my life, being raised in church, and understanding about the joy of giving to the Lord. It said there, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. You see, we are supposed to, as ones that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're supposed to give God glory. But then we don't like that second part that's thrown in there. Okay? I'm just going to throw this out. Okay? Nobody take offense real quick. But I was at a church right before Thanksgiving, and a pastor gets up and he's preaching, and he says, you know, we've all sinned. He says, we're getting ready to go into the time of year where nobody wants to talk about gluttony. He said, you know, gluttony can affect the fat, the skinny, and everybody in between. Because when we eat too much, that's when we become a glutton, no matter if we're skinny or fat. Now, a pastor can eat a whole lot, okay? High metabolism. I used to be like that. I got to cut it back a little. You'll come, brother. Some of you know, right? But he says, you know, this is what caught my attention. He says, all of us will go in and we'll put our maternity clothes on in preparation for Thanksgiving. That way, we don't have to worry about that gut line. You know, we like to stuff ourselves. We like to get, right? And it's good to enjoy Thanksgiving. But there's a time in the church and there's a time in our lives where we have to understand we must give an offering. We must give back to the Lord and worship him through giving. Some of you know that. You tithe, right? Amen. I'm glad to hear that. But there is tithing and there's also offerings in addition. If you would, we're going to go to Scripture. So go to Malachi chapter number 3. Turn over there. Last book of the Old Testament before the New Testament. Malachi chapter number 3. And here we have a prophet, Malachi, who's telling the people something that they really didn't want to hear. Go down here to verse number 7. Even from the days of your father, ye have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Here's the answer, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that it may be meat for mine house, and prove me now where herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, a lot of us don't like to think about it. But back in Exodus, the Ten Commandments were given, and one of those was what? Thou shalt not steal. And we're talking specifically here, a man robbed God? Well, how can I rob God? He's in heaven. He's the one that created everything that we have. In fact, he gives to us the knowledge in order to be able to do like Americans do. Create something more so we have something more to buy. Right? But it says, will you rob God? We don't think about it. And the people of Israel in the Old Testament here it is, they didn't think about it either. And he says, how can we rob God? And it was a very simple question, very simple answer. You haven't given back in tithe and offering. Now, maybe you all know this and I'm just behind the times, but what is a tithe? 10%, that's what the meaning of it is. And the people up to this time had not been tithing of their income in order to give back to the church, give back to God what was rightly his. That tenth is his. He just entrusts us to have it for a little while, and we're supposed to give it right back. What happens with that tithe? Well, comes into the house of God. It can't be given anywhere else to anything else. It can't be given to some charity. It's given to God back here for the effort and the work that's going on out of the local New Testament church. You give your tithe here at this church, First Baptist Church in Greenfield, Missouri, for the efforts of this church. What all does that go to? I don't know your budget, but in most Baptist churches around, that tithe goes to support the pastor. That tithe goes to pay the bills of the church, to keep the building up. The church is you. The building is the structure around it. We have the habit of calling church. But it's us that's the church. The building around us is the house. And it takes money to keep it. It also goes further to say right there, in addition to the tithe, which goes to keep the church going and its outreach in this community locally, to give what? An offering. And there's probably times, I don't know this in this church, I don't know what the pastor comes up here and says, you know, we have a special project or there's a missionary that needs to have or whatever. Would you please give towards? I don't know what all you do. But that's in addition to that tithe that offering is made. And here the people were not doing that. And he said, will you rob God? Some of you already turned me off. He's talking about me giving more. Well, let me tell you, that verse there says what? It says, verse number 10, bring ye in the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Yeah, right. If I give all my money, how am I? Well, let me give you some examples of my life and what has happened in that tithe and offering. And maybe some of you can be able to do the same thing. I praise the Lord that I was taught as a new Christian, okay? I did it by habit before this. Whenever we went, Mom, Dad, give me some coins and I put it in the offering. Whether it was by passing to the plate or like you, by giving it in a box. Does not matter. It's given to the church. Whichever method it's taken up, that's not the important thing. The important thing is I learned to give. How come it was when I was a kid, the only time I had money in my hand was when I was supposed to get rid of it? Huh? Well, it taught me a good character principle of giving back to God what's His, whether I have it or not. It's not mine in the first place. That tenth is God's. He's just seeing what you can do with it. Let me tell you, I know some Christian people who are saved and know Christ as their Savior, and they said, well, I don't have enough money to tithe. I can't afford to. Let me tell you, it's the other way around. You can't afford not to give it back to God, because He's ready to open the windows of heaven and bless you beyond all measure. I've seen it around the world. I've been to poor countries. The poorest in Central America is Haiti. I know missionaries that are down there, and the people that are in those churches who have come away from the wicked demonistic life of the people in Haiti, literally, they're living in a wickedness down there. But that's the way we are in America too, okay? May not be as open, but it's here. But there they are taught the principle of giving in the churches. And those individuals who have Christ as their Savior, who are poor and don't have, they still give a tenth back to the Lord. And you know what happens as a result? God blesses them. Why is it that their place looks the nicest and it always seems to have the funds in order to take care of what they need? It's because they did what God told them to do first. Give your tithe. India. There is three specific counties or countries within the India. They're states just like we have in the United States. Up in Nagaland, over against Burma. That area, many years ago, back in the 50s and the 60s, America sent a lot of missionaries to that area of India. A lot of people in that area of India accepted Christ their Savior, and there is independent Baptist churches. There's churches of all different kinds that serve Jesus Christ. They know Him as Lord and Savior. And that part of India is more productive in the same ground as the area that's serving in Hinduism. Why? God says, I'll bless. I'll make your lands more productive. I'll return to you a bigger investment of the seeds that are planted by an increase in the crops if you do what I say. I also know that there was a church that was struggling, and I don't know if Pastor wants to implement this or not, or I don't know if there's somebody in here that's like that, but in this grain-producing agricultural area of the United States, there was a church that was struggling. They didn't have the funds to take care of what was needed, and it seemed like people weren't really giving an offering like they were supposed to. And there was a man in the church who happened to run the grain elevator in town. And he knew a lot of the farmers that were in the church. And so they asked this man, he says, would you, you've been proven that you've been successful and God is blessing you. We'd like for you to become the treasurer of the church. Nobody looking around now, okay? And he says, I'll do it on one condition. You don't ask me any questions in a year, and I'll give to you the financial statement after a year, and we'll see how the church is doing. And the church says, okay, be glad to do that. So what does he do? Goes on normal life. Church services are exactly the same. And at the end of the year, they've noticed that everything seems to be going very well financially for the church. So at the end of the year, they ask the man, what's going on? We appreciate you being treasurer. How did this all happen? Was there corruption? Oh yeah, there was corruption, all right. But it was on the other level. You see, he had the grain elevator in town, and when the farmers who were in the church brought the grain to the elevator, he took a tenth right off the top there, and they never saw it in the first place. And they didn't know that they had lost it. They didn't know that it was gone. But the church had a lot of money to do the things they needed. You know what? If somebody was right here to be convicted about maybe you're not doing your part, maybe some of the churches in America or this, I don't know. God's saying, you know what? You've been robbing me. You've not been given your tithe. You've not been doing your part. And that's why you're struggling financially. I know I not only was a missionary kid in American Samoa, but also I've been just a normal person in a church, not always a missionary. And I know sitting there and listening to conferences and pastors preaching on giving, there's times that, oh man, do I have to? Yes. And you can look at it, I have to or I get to. right? It's all the perception of the attitude in the mind and the heart. I get to give back to God his tenth, the tithe. And I get to give an offering. And I've always tried to do that. Because God's going to get it no matter what from you. It may be in an extra big bill for something in order to get it. Your car breaks down. Something breaks in the house. Huh? God's going to get his tenth. But he'd like for you to gladly give it at the church. And we've had times in our lives as we have been married and been able to go and to do and to serve and to make happen in churches, we've always tried to give and tithe in the church. And anytime we've ever been tempted to not, we have to look at, you know, we'd probably be struggling more if we didn't do what God asked us to do. We would probably not have the funds to see stretch to get the things that God really wants to bless us with if we didn't give. And so we taught our three children as we were raising them the same thing. Don't rob from God. Don't take away from God what's his. Be glad to be able to give it back plus an offering. Now you say, that's Old Testament. Good. Well, let's go over then, okay? Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to start talking about missions now. And I like talking about missions because I was a missionary kid. And now I've been doing missions. And I love missionaries. I love to hear what God is doing with those people around the world where they don't have or where maybe they're learning and they get it as a grip. Philippians chapter number 4. Go down to verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Think of your life. Do you lack opportunity? Okay? Verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, that's mean without, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's a lot of favorite verses right there. But we don't look at the verses before or after. And we wonder why. Okay, keep reading. Verse number 14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. That communicate word right there means you did not only talk or converse with, but you also did not hear the need of giving and attend to the giving request. Here that's specifically talking about. That's why it talks about right there, you know how to be abased and how to abound. I know how to do without. What did Paul do, part of his missionary trips? He became a tent maker once again in order to make the funds that was needed to get by, to be able to feed himself and those that were with him. He said here to these people at Philippi, notwithstanding ye have done well that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, here's that word, communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Paul knew how to be without as well as when he had, he didn't frivolously spend. He was a good steward of the funds that God allowed him to receive from people in churches that wanted to help him to do the work. He's writing to the church at Philippi and he's saying, you didn't communicate at first, but then you got on and you did give, and thank you for giving. On the mission side, not back in the Old Testament tithes and offering, but in addition to tithes and offering, we're supposed to give to missions for the outreach, not just here in this local community, but around the world, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts, right? And praise the Lord for the missions. You've got missionary letters. You support missions. You've helped us for years now to do that. And thank you for that. I like to give reports of what's been happening as a result of it, to tell you about the scripture that's going out, the people that are accepting Christ as their Savior. But it wouldn't happen without those funds. Here, Paul is saying, thank you, people, for doing that. Now, let's go back once again, and I'll give you some examples from my life so that you can put it into a practical application. As a 7-year-old kid and a missionary comes to the church, and we're there before we went to American Samoa when I'm 10, that we give to missions in addition. A love offering is given to a missionary to help meet the need, or a prayer letter is read and they have a prayer request for a special need that's out there. And people give to help meet that need. Maybe not every time from this church, but maybe other churches that support that missionary gives as well. What all does it go to? To reaching those people so that they may know as well. It's not just so that that missionary can have a nice Thanksgiving meal, because I've been in countries where they don't even celebrate Thanksgiving. We didn't even have turkeys in American Samoa to eat. But you know what? I learned that pig is just as good. Chicken is just as good. Fish is just as good. But it's an attitude of the heart we were thankful for. And we had, and we used what was available. That we were able to start learning to give for those needs. And I praise the Lord, Mom and Dad would explain to us, the missionary that come to the church and told about the work, they have a special need. They need this or that. I remember a man by the name of Gunther, John Gunther, who was a missionary down in Bolivia. Why does it stick with me? I don't know, but it made a lasting impression because now, 50-some years later, I can still remember the request. He was asking then for enough money from churches to be able to buy a mule and to buy a 30-30. And you're thinking, why would he ask for that? Well, that's kind of selfish. He's a hunter. All he wants to go is deer hunting, right? No, not at all. You see, he needed the mule to be able to be the beast of burden to go into the jungles of Bolivia and have that mule for safety. How many of you ever heard how mean a mule can be? Some of you know firsthand, I can tell, okay? Not the younger crowd. But he asked for a mule to be able to pack in boxes with scripture, tracts, Bibles, to the villages that he was going days upon end travel to. And he wanted to not have to carry himself. I told you this morning about the young man in the Philippines who took boxes of scripture back to his area of the Philippines so that he could hand it out. And he had to carry it. I talked to other pastors who told about how they carried and were glad to carry boxes for days to get to their village so that they could give to them the most important, most valuable thing on earth, God's Word. Brother Gunther wanted to have that mule so that he didn't have to carry it himself. But why the gun? For safety as he went through the jungles. In Bolivia, they have some pretty nasty animals out there that can kill you. In fact, they want to eat you. It's not like in America. And this is back in the 60s. But he also wanted it so that he could shoot a tapir. How many of you know what that animal is? And he would shoot a tapir, and then he could have a campfire, and he could eat the food so he didn't have to worry about taking something that would last for a long time with him. He could shoot the animal and eat it too. So he wanted the mule for safety because it could hear and give defense, especially at night, probably while he's sleeping soundly and snoring like I do. That animal was paying attention. And also that gun, so if he needed to use it, he could. I could give you a lot of illustrations and examples of missionaries that write letters. But there's one specifically that's dear to my heart too. Because you see, back in 1976, we're in American Samoa. There's Mom and Dad and 5 little kids, 4 boys and a girl. Here I am, 13 years old. We're stuck on a little bitty island. It's not very big, 3 miles wide at the widest and 6 miles long from end to end. But there's a bunch of people that live on that island whose soul needs Jesus Christ. We're there. Dad had been laboring and been telling the people about it. In fact, we were the first Baptist missionaries to the island in 1972. The Mormons were there, the Jehovah Witnesses were there, the Catholics were there. And they weren't preaching the gospel. They weren't telling the truth. Mom and Dad had been to churches and been raised support. And we went to American Samoa thinking that the money that had come in and support was enough to meet the needs. But it wasn't. And as inflation happened back in the 70s, okay, it's almost as bad as, well, Bidenomics. I'll just say it. It was bad. And Dad took a job and was working. But Dad, in the time that we were there, had already contracted a disease called elephantiasis. And his right hand was already about that thick. It was swelling. See, a mosquito bites you. And the larva then get in your lymph nodes and keeps the fluids from flowing like they're supposed to. And the swelling starts and it doesn't get out of that area of your body. Dad had been bitten by a mosquito that had that and give that to him. And he's already swelling. But in January, he had a heart attack. And you see, they didn't have a local hospital. You run down there with a cardiologist that can tell you and give you medicine and everything. They had like a clinic that could do some real emergency stuff, like if you get cut and broke, and take care of you. Well, Dad lived through that heart attack, but he wasn't okay. And so they took the funds that Dad needed to get him on a plane and bring him back to the States in order to get the help that he needed. Now there's Mom and five little kids in American Samoa. Back then, too, there wasn't internet and there wasn't email. It was write it out on a piece of paper and send it back by stamp. Oh, we had one flight a week that came in and one flight a week that flew out of American Samoa. And so Mom writes a letter and sends it back to the supporting churches. And that's why I love missionary letters on the walls in churches. Read them, folks. It's there for a reason. How many of you know those missionaries and the needs that are represented in there, the prayer requests that are represented in there? You see, Mom had written a letter back to our supporting churches and said, Dad had to come back to the States for a heart attack. And the rest of the family is in American Samoa until the funds come in order for us to be able to get on a plane and come back to the United States. It took 7 months for the support money to come in order for Mom and us kids to be able to get on an airplane and come back to the States. We praise the Lord for those churches that read that prayer letter and responded with an offering. You see, the missionaries are dependent upon that offering, like Paul's talking about. He said, I have a need, and I'm thanking you for helping with that need. Your missionaries are not there in that country, able to get jobs and be able to do in a lot of places. They're dependent upon the offering of the churches who said, we will support you. And there's possibilities that they're going to need an additional offering in order to help meet some special circumstances that come up. Did Dad know that he was going to have a heart attack? Not at all. Especially at his age. He was around 50 when it happened. But you know what? God met the need through people that listened to the Lord spake to their heart and they responded. We have been in churches now, my wife and I, most all of our life. Her dad was a pastor of a church. And we were able to listen and we read missionary letters. And what's different about being on the other side like you sitting there is we like to hear those because we have a heart for missions. And when we heard from a missionary who comes to the church and says, please support us as we go into this part of the world and do what God's asking us to do, it's not that we're looking for money, we're looking for your support prayerfully as well as to meet our daily needs on the mission field as well as some special things that may come up. We, sitting in the pew just like you, and we look at each other or individually at the end of the service go, You know, the Lord told me while I heard that missionary speaking that they have a need for some extra funds. Let's give them X number of dollars in order to meet. And it's not always the same. And sometimes we're like, but honey, I don't have the money. Well, the Lord impressed upon me that I need to give it. How does he meet that need? Well, remember back in Malachi when it says he gives a blessing on top of? You ever had that real tight paycheck extended because of a blessing that happened? Like maybe the bill was waived and you didn't have to pay it? Maybe you get to some place, and we've had that happen as we've been places, where people will say, oh, what do? You look, you know, because when you're dressed like this and you go to the fuel pump and you fill your vehicle with fuel, you know, you kind of look funny, right? Well, as we travel, that happens. And I don't wear that for that reason, but we've had people that have bought us tanks of gas in the vehicle so that we could go. And it's a wonderful witnessing opportunity, by the way. I don't mind looking funny. The world looks funny in a different way, but I like to look like this to show people I love Christ. I want to look my best. I want to serve him and do what I do. Now, that's not a challenge to you to change the way you dress, okay? But I'm just telling you, you need to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. But when he says, give to this, and you're wondering, how do I make that happen? Let God figure that out. He's the one that controls it all for you anyhow. Right? Yeah. He says, you give me the tithe, you give offerings, you give to missions, and you're thinking, he's talking about giving in so many different ways. Yes, I am. But I want to tell you the one biggest way. Okay? You don't have it. I like to use an offering plate that I've got back home at my church. And I didn't bring it because we just came from our daughters for Thanksgiving. But I have an offering plate that's about this big around. And I'll take it to churches and I'll lay it down there on the floor. And people are wondering, what in the world has Brother Martin got a big offering? Is he planning on taking up a big offering? He wants that full heaping over? Well, I'd like to, but that's not the reason. You notice in all of these scriptures that we've talked about, David's time when he was writing there in Psalms, Malachi when he was writing before the Dark Ages started, and Paul in the New Testament, as well as today, me here today, you know what God is really wanting? You. Your heart to be involved in to the point where you see that offering plate and you step in it and you say, Lord, you have me, all of me, my heart, my mind, everything about me is yours. I give myself to you. And if you give your life to the Lord, you give your being to the Lord, and you step in that offering plate, it won't be no problem at all to take this. Lord, it's yours. You control my finances. You provide. You allow. You bless. Not only do I give to you my tenth back, not only do I give to the needs of the church when I hear the pastor say we need to do something in addition, not only when a missionary comes and says, I have a need, do you look at the money that's in that or in a clip or anywhere else you keep it, but he has your heart. He has all of you. And it's easy for you then to open up and say, okay, Lord, you impressed upon me. I'm going to do as you've said. I'm going to give what you've just impressed upon me. $100 to that man or that woman because they have a need above and beyond. And you say, $100? Oh my goodness, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Man, I remember, I still pick up pennies off of the street to do John and Romans. Why? Because it's a soul. Every 18 pennies that I pick up is a John and Romans for a soul someplace in the world. It amounts to something. But $100, that's a lot. It's not when God has this. He has your heart. He can replace that $100. He can replace everything that's in that wallet, the credit cards and everything else. He can replace all of that if you just give yourself to him and say, Lord, I entrust you. I give everything to you. You lead and guide me. Church has a need. Missions has a need. Maybe you're going down the street, time like Christmas time, Thanksgiving time, and the Lord says, you know, there's a needy family in the community. Be a blessing to them. Why don't you go over there to them and take them this or that? Or why don't you give them? Or as a church, collectively, you give up. And I don't know if you do it or not. It doesn't matter. But if the Lord impresses upon, you need to do it. Why? Because it's in here. It's to Him, the one who gives it all to you. And oh, by the way, if you don't do what He says when He prompts you, you know what you're doing? Robbing God. He didn't tell you to do that just because He wants to bless you, because He wants your obedience. And a lot of us have a problem with that obedience thing. Oh, Brother Martin, you're talking about money. Yeah, I'm talking about the money that God gives you, that God's blessed you with. Would I be where I am today if I didn't do what God asked me? Not at all. Would I be able to see the blessings that's happened to me over the years? Not at all. We started doing this mission work 1 September 2001. I had $3,200 a month coming in as a captain in the Army every payday. Deposit, direct deposit in my bank. Didn't matter. It was there. I could count on it. Lord says, I want you, Samuel, to surrender your life to me. Okay, Lord, I trust you. I stepped into that offering plate many, many years ago. And I left the security of being an Army captain and started doing mission work. Wife, 3 kids. We started doing deputation in 2000. I took my vacation days from the military and extended weekends and went to churches to start raising support so that we could do the mission work. And I'd go to churches just like you, and the pastor would say, well, what do you need? And, well, we need just like everybody else, but we also need money for buying paper to print scripture. Well, what do you want? Well, I tell you what I want, but you do what God's telling you to do. And so I would tell your pastor, if God tells the church to give us personal support, give us personal support. If He says give a paper support, you give paper support so we can buy paper. I leave it to the church. Never did I ever tell them I have to have this over that. God provided for us. We had $325 a month in support when we stepped away from that guaranteed income. Now, 23 years later, we're still going. Why? Because people did just like I've told you about. They've given towards the need, and as the Holy Spirit prompted them, they gave. Why? Because they had stepped into the offering plate and done what God had told them to do. We went to a church in Ottumwa, Iowa, very shortly after we started in the ministry. We lived in a 40-foot travel trailer with the kids. We moved from one place to the other, sometimes 3 different churches in a week. Diesel was 89 cents a gallon. Oh, to be like that again. God met our needs. We drive into Ottumwa, Iowa. We park the trailer at the church. We hook it up to the church because they allowed us. They had the place for us to do that. I go downtown, and I had a little more hair than I do now. Not much, but it hurts to get a haircut. Not because of cutting, but because of the pain. Well, we went to a barbershop so my son and I could get us a haircut. Looked presentable. Shut the truck off to go in. Get done, and no click. No nothing. It had died. What do you do? Went back into the barbershop. This is pre-cell phone days. I know some of you can't imagine that. But we went back in and we called, and somebody from the church came down and they towed the truck to the Ford dealership in town. This is a Saturday. Monday, they take me down there. I tell them, yes, this is my truck. Yes, this is what it's doing. get the key. I mean, nothing. Well, we'll take a look at it. I know this is going to hurt, Lord. We have $300 a month in support. I don't know how I'm going to pay for the repair, and I know repairs on a diesel engine is not cheap. But Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. You've put us here in town, and you give us this for a reason. I don't know what it is. We go to church Wednesday night, and I preach Wednesday night there at the church and present the ministry and the need that is there for the ministry. I never said anything about the truck. But a man in the church after service knew that our truck was in the shop. And the Lord has spoken to him about the need. He says, I want you to come with me, Brother Martin. I said, okay, let me tell my wife I'm leaving. Get in the truck with him, and we drove to his house. We get down there, and he took out a 48-quart cooler, and he starts putting beef in the thing because he had had a beef butchered, and he wanted to be a blessing by giving us some beef. And he starts filling that cooler, and I said, whoa, stop. He says, no, I want to give this to you. I said, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I want to give it to you. I said, no, our freezer in the RV's little. He says, well, take out the hamburger and keep the roasts and the steaks for the family. Take a few extra to put in the fridge so that you can thaw it out and you can eat it between now and the time that you leave. We were grateful. Thank the Lord for a man speaking like that. On the way back to the church from his house and thinking, what a blessing it is to have this meat. And we get there and he pulls in the parking lot. He says, Brother Martin, he says, how are you going to pay for your vehicle being fixed? I said, I don't know. I don't have a clue. In fact, I don't even know what the bill's going to be because I don't know how much work it needs to have on that. He says, well, the Lord's already spoken to me. He reaches above his visor and he takes down his checkbook and he signs his name and he rips it out and he gives it to me. He said, the Lord's already blessed, and he said, whatever it cost, you just give them this check and tell the pastor what it is. I'll pay for your repair bill. Wow, praise the Lord. Friday, I get a call. You need to come down, and we think your vehicle is ready. And if you get down here by 5 o'clock, we'll probably have it finished by then. If not, we'll work until we get it finished. So pastor give us the message and took us down there to the place and dropped me off. And since I was getting ready to get my vehicle, he left me there. Well, that's a good sign. Some hope I'm actually going to drive away. And I get in there, and the manager comes walking down to where they were working on the truck, and literally they're finishing putting the engine back together. And he has a piece of paper in his hand, and he said, are you ready for this? And I said, I guess so, because Wednesday at church, a man gave me this check. It's blank. All it is his signature on it. And he says, just a minute. And he turns around and he walks back to his office. And he comes back a few minutes later with that piece of paper in his hand. He says, okay, I'm ready now. I said, okay. And I give him the check. I said, fill it out. Let me know what the amount is, and I'll tell the pastor of the church. It had 1 hour of labor. They've been working on it all week. Two mechanics. You see, on top of a 7.3 diesel engine, all of the glow plug wires, all of the controls for all of the ignition and everything is in that. And they didn't know how I'd even got to town. It was so melted down. And they said, no wonder it won't start. They charged me 1 hour of labor and the parts, $847 and some cents. And I'm praising the Lord not only for the man who gave me the blank check, but also for the company that's only charged me 1 hour of labor. You see how God can bless? Now that man, God had blessed because he responded and did what God had told him to do. And he gave when God told him to give. You see, many times we think of we're robbing God with tithes and offerings, giving. But think of it this way as well. If you have given your life to the Lord and He has everything, you, what are you robbing yourself of by not listening when God tells you to give to a need? You've taken that blessing that He was ready to give to you and say, watch this. And you just said, I don't want it, Lord. I'm not going to listen when you prompt me to do. You see, those missionaries that are there, the work of this church is dependent upon you to be faithful to give back in the funds that you give here. Not because they want your money. They want your heart. God wants your heart. He wants to bless you. And you are robbing God by not giving back what He's asking you to give. I don't know how your giving is personally. I don't know what the church's needs are. I don't know the missionaries except for that one back there that's called Samuel Martin. But I do know this from personal experience and from mission side, don't be robbed because you won't give to God what He's asking you to give. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Very simple. It's God's money. It's all His. He wants your heart. And if He has your heart, the money part won't be a problem at all. I don't know how it is in your life. I don't know the needs that you have. And I'm not saying give just to see a blessing come in, because that's the wrong attitude. But I'm telling you what, if you give your life to the Lord and you respond when He asks you to give above and beyond even, you know what He's going to do? He's going to bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, stand to your feet. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then the piano is going to start playing. And I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. But if the Lord has spoken to you this morning about the area of giving, respond like He would want. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Lord, it's very clear here that we're supposed to give to You. We're supposed to give back a tithe. Well, we're supposed to be giving gladly and offering above and beyond and missions above and beyond as You prompt us. Lord, I pray that You would speak to the hearts of these dear people. Help them to realize the importance of honoring and serving and glorifying You through giving. I pray now that You'd work in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.